Good afternoon, and welcome to another installment of Food for Thought here on Siouxland Public Media. I am your host, Adrian Colbo, and today I am joined and very excited to sit down with the crew from Marteau Brewing Company. Welcome, guys.
Hello there.
Hi. Hello.
Thanks, Adrian.
So I'm sitting down with Eric Martin, who is owner, I would say president of Marteau Brewing Company. What is your title, Eric?
Yeah, founder and head brewer.
Founder and head brewer. So Eric Martin, where the Marteau comes from, and then we've got Rod Wellman. Are you one of the head brewers as well?
I will be a brewer, yep.
Okay.
So Eric and I have been brewing together for quite a few years, so yeah, I'll be down there. We'll learn the system and be able to brew beers, and excited to work together on some good beers.
Awesome, awesome. And then we've got Nick Goodwin here, who is the executive chef of Marteau Brewing Company.
Yep, been born and raised here, right here in Sioux City. I started out at Cahill's, Minerva's, and I recently just got done with Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
Okay, so moved over to Marteau from Hard Rock. Awesome. Well, it sounds like you guys have some really cool things planned. Let's jump right into it. Let's talk about Marteau and how it got its start. I know the name has been kind of kicking around Sioux City for a long time. Tell us about your roots, Eric.
Yeah, so first of all, Marteau is my nickname growing up. I think I was in fourth or fifth grade, and it was my nickname. And when I would homebrew, I just kind of joked around that Marteau Brewing Company is my last name or my nickname, and quick, easy name, and just stuck with it.
So. Something easy to remember and fits on a beer bottle.
Yeah, exactly. Something different. So, yeah, started homebrewing on a Mr. Beer homebrew kit that my wife's grandpa gave me. I kind of asked him about it. Hey, what's that? You know, what are you doing with that? He said, take it home with you and mess around with it. So,
and how old were you then?
Probably about 22, give or take.
Okay. So of legal age, right? You got to make sure you're
correct. Yeah. Yeah. 22, 23, I'd say. So I did that and made mediocre to bad beer for about a year on that thing. Fermented too hot and too long probably, and made a lot of mistakes. About a year into it, my wife was starting to make wine at about that time, and she's making out of like grapes and berries. So I thought, wonder if I can make beer the same way out of the raw ingredient, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So researched for about 3 to 4 months probably, and then dove right into it. Did all grain batch. It was a Dogfish Head 90-minute IPA clone.
Mm-hmm.
And the beer turned out really well. I wonder how it tastes now if I taste it, you know, as my palate changes and I can pick out more things. And
so was that kind of the moment that you you kind of said, hey, I might have the hang of this. Was that kind of other people giving you feedback and saying, hey, this is really great?
So that first beer turned out well. I took it to the Rascals Homebrew Club here in Sioux City at Alfredo's, and a lot of people liked it. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty good for my first beer, you know. So
and for those who don't know what Rascals is, it's a it's kind of a local I've been before. I'm not a big member of it, but I've been before. It's on Monday nights, and it's a bunch of people that do some home brewing. They're just kind of beer aficionados, people that love craft beer, and you get together and you kind of share and share a pizza, but also share some beers with each other.
Yeah,
on a theme, right?
Yeah, meet once a month. Usually a theme of the month. Like this month was Scotch Ale and English Ale. So yeah, she brought my beer there, had good feedback about people enjoying the beer, so that built confidence. Hey, let's try it again. Keep making beer, try it out. Mm-hmm. And did that for a while. My wife's like, you're spending all this time and money making beer. Maybe you should look at
getting a return out of it.
Yeah, making business out of it. And about the same time, I was entering competitions and, excuse me, and I won quite a few awards, Nebraska State Fair, Best of Show, some other ones in Omaha, and just grew up from there and began writing a business plan about 5 years ago. And then
I met you. I moved back to town maybe 4 years ago, and I met you, and you at that time were already looking for a location.
Yeah.
It was about 3 or 4 years ago, right?
Yep. So first started looking at a spot in Ottawa, and that didn't work out. Just hard to find investors in a smaller town, and I was approached by somebody in Sioux City to look at a building and decided to give it a go in Sioux City. So
okay.
We
So real quick, Rod, where do you come into the picture here? Was that part of the Rascals?
The Rascals, yeah, okay. Yeah. I met Eric at one of those Rascals meetings, and it's a fun story. I'm kind of, it's a long table, mm-hmm. At Alfredo's is where it takes place, and I'm sitting to his right, and these beers are coming around like normal, and this IPA shows up, and which was kind of unusual even in home brewing back then. IPAs aren't the easiest thing to make, you know, mm-hmm. with all the hops involved and everything, and. So I took a drink of it, and it's like, wow, this is really good. And Eric's sitting next to me. I didn't even know him. And I said, who made this beer? And he goes, I did. So we kind of struck up a friendship and a relationship there, just kind of knowing this guy's making some nice quality beers. And I thought I was also at the same time. So we just kind of became friends that way and started brewing together a few years ago. And all the while, Eric is telling me that he wants to open a brewery. And that's something that I always considered or thought about doing. But I'm a bit older and opening a new business from the ground up again, because I've done one already. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I'll just kind of hang out with Eric and ride on his coattails and be a part of this. So that's kind of my role in it and helping him out any way I can. So
yeah. Well, and you've been part of you were an early adopter in terms of starting out brewing. I mean, we're talking 20 some years.
Yeah. John Lennon at Alfredo's sold homebrew ingredients out of his shop there for mm-hmm. quite a few years. And he had a little training class that he would do. So he got me interested in it. And I was expanding my palate on what beers could be back then, 22 years ago. Mm-hmm. You had Boulevard Wheat and a few others that were around. And that was about it. But those were exciting to me. You know, I've always been a fan of beer, but just open up some new flavors, and that's kind of how a lot of people get into home brewing and their craft beer expansion is just trying new things. And so got the homebrew kit from him and started brewing beers, and he had a nice system down as far as making pretty good beers right out of the chute. So, you know, maybe mine weren't stellar right away, but they weren't bad, and that kept me interested enough to keep pursuing. It's like, hey, I think I can make a go of this, making some pretty good beer. So
yeah.
Been homebrewing ever since, kind of on and off. I took big breaks from it over the years, just family things and you know, other things get in the way for a while. And then kind of get the itch again. Oh, I got to brew a batch of beer. It's been a while. So
well, anything that you do over a couple of decades, yeah, you're gonna have some
hobbies. Yeah, like that kind of come and go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's very cool that you've been able to kind of develop these friendships in and around you know, home brewing. And then now you'll be able to take that into something that really provides a service that Sioux City needs and we need for tourism's sake as well. So back onto the space, you were kind of looking at spaces and trying to find a spot where all of this could happen. And the promenade space there, that next to the Promenade Theater, talk about finding that location.
Yeah, I think that spot was always the ultimate spot for us to get into. Yeah, we looked at probably 8 buildings, give or take, I'd say, over the last few years. Put an offer on a couple buildings, looking to lease them, but everything just lined up timing-wise for us. Like, it feels like you try to find investors while you try to find your location. What comes first? You know, it's hard to mm-hmm. get investors without a clear goal mm-hmm. in hand, you know. So we found a good group of investors that believed in what we had, you know, a vision of and our product. And, yeah, it was a long process to get that lease complete, but
yeah,
it's a perfect spot for us. So.
Well, anyone who knows the history of that property knows that it was kind of tied up in other things that made it so that you couldn't actually get into that space, even if you desperately wanted the space.
Yeah.
And I remember when I met you initially, you were talking about how great it would be to have the garage doors flown open and have people kind of milling about on the fountain area there and just kind of have this great patio atmosphere, but that was years before you actually got it accomplished.
Yeah, that's probably a couple years before, probably 2 years ago we first mm-hmm. looked at that spot.
Yeah,
but about I think it was June of 2018 is when they finished up their bankruptcy issues with the property owner did, and they were ready to get somebody in there once it was all cleared up, and we negotiated it for about 6 months, signed a lease in November. I think it's a perfect spot for us, and we're looking forward to adding to the area down there. Just yeah. The hotel across the street's great for us. Hopefully we're a great compliment to them. Same thing with all the other 4th Street businesses. So
yeah, I mean, down there the rising tide is happening. It's really cool to cool to watch, and you'll certainly be a big part of that. Part of the conversations that you and I had back when you were initially looking is you were talking about food and how excited you were to bring some interesting fare to that area that isn't necessarily there right now. And looks like Nick, you're a part of that. You're going to be
I was very excited when Eric got a hold of me about a month ago, mm-hmm. and offered me the spot down there, and I was excited to be working with Jazar Templin. He's going to be our tap room manager down there. And me and him have worked together at Hard Rock for 3 years. So me and him got a really good relationship. So the front of house, the back of house, if anybody's out there worked in kitchens, you always know that there's a wall built up between the front of house and back of house. So with me and him, it's going to be great. It's going to be great dynamics going back and forth with us.
Awesome. So talk a little bit about what types of food are going to be offered. I know wood-fired pizzas are going to be a big staple, but other things as well.
Yeah, so I wanted to really take that oven and see what I could do as far as pushing it to the limits of what I could put inside of it. So we're going to try doing wood-fired oysters inside of it. We're going to do house-made sausages inside of it. We're going to do pretzels as well. And then I'm going to try cooking a burger inside of it, put a big old piece of cast iron inside and see if this will take off. So,
yeah. So what else on the menu? You'll have apps, you'll have salads, wood-fired pizzas. You're going to be making house-made sausages. Your sausage actually is going to be crumbled for the pizzas. Will that be house-made as well?
Yep. Both of those will be house-made. Pretty much the sausage board that we're going to do is more like a banger style. So it'll be about 8 ounce sausages on this big old wood board for you.
The right size of sausage.
Exactly. Yes. You know, you gotta have a really good beer to go with this sausage. So that's why I'm leaning on these guys to make sure it's great beer going with it.
Some good mustards as well.
House-made mustards as well. Mm. I'm also going to utilize a lot of the spent grains and the beers itself that they're brewing. And cooking with those ingredients. So like the salad dressings, I'm going to take one of their sours and I'm going to make a salad dressing out of it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Use that as the, as what you use to sweeten it, I imagine.
Yep,
right?
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
A little bit of the acidity as well.
So back on the food, you know, and where you're sourcing this food, some of it you said you're going to be making in-house and making the sausage in-house. What about greens and fresh produce?
Yeah. So, last couple of weeks, we've been heading down to the farmer's market and building a lot of good relationships with the folks down there. Most of them have been past relationships I've worked with. The C. Brown Gardens. I got Jim Brown. He probably has the best sweet corn I've ever had in my life, the way he hydro-cools it down in his Big Bends. And then we're sourcing local honey as well. A lot of our Neapolitan-style pizzas are going to have creamed honey on top of it. So I'm just trying to utilize as much local ingredients as I can, because I think there's a lot of restaurants out there that they just want to buy nothing but big bulk.
Mm. And shop from the large food providers?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you'll try to limit that as much as possible? And
Yep.
Yeah.
And then also once it gets towards the end of the season, we'll switch up the menu and I'm going to get into doing a lot more pickling and stuff. So I'm going to take these ingredients and pretty much preserve the season and utilize that through the wintertime.
Okay. Well, that sounds amazing. I see here on the menu oysters.
Yep.
Those are going to be fired as well?
Yes. Yep. Okay. So I'm going to get those flown in fresh probably 2 to 3 times a week. They're going to be East Coast oysters. I want something bigger. If you get West Coast, they're usually tamed to be a little bit smaller. So I'm going to go start off with either some blue points or some beaver tails with those.
Okay.
Something that's very approachable for our guests coming in.
And they'll all be baked or cooked? They won't be raw?
Yeah, somebody wants some raw oysters, for sure.
Okay, I'll be heading down.
Yep.
Especially East Coast. I love them. Okay, so house-made sausage, pizzas, obviously. You have any gluten-free options? I saw in there a cauliflower pizza.
Yeah, so
dough,
we got the cauliflower pie. It's going to be made with a cauliflower crust. Then we're going to do a white sauce on it, and then we're going to do a roasted collini on it, which is pretty much like broccolini, but it's a new hybrid of cauliflower they're coming out with. Then we're going to do shaved Brussels sprouts on top, calabrese peppers, and finish with a peppercorn gouda.
Oh, man. That sounds amazing. We do this program over lunch, and when the food talk gets really good, my stomach starts growling. So entrees, you're going to be doing some short ribs?
Yep, we're going to do bone-in short ribs. We're going to do a Korean style on that, so I'm going to braise them in a red curry paste, and those will go for about 6 hours in the oven. Then when they come out, we're going to finish them off.
Slow and low?
Oh, yeah, slow and low. Yeah. So it just falls right off the bone. And then we're also going to do a chicken roulade down there. So we're going to stuff that with some fresh cheeses, finish it up on the cast iron inside the oven. Should be delicious.
Well, everything sounds great. Some desserts as well. Probably mixing some beer into your ice cream, sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So just, I think next week we're going to buy our ice cream makers, just a little countertop one. But I'm going to take pretty much whatever these guys can throw at me and say, hey, I think this might be a good ice cream. All right, let's go play with it in the back and see what we can make.
Well, very cool. Well, the menu looks amazing. Obviously, you're going to be tweaking and playing jazz with it as time goes on, and obviously your creativity is going to really come out. And Eric, I know that you're you love food as well, and so you're going to probably play a part in that, too. You have a signature burger on the menu, I see.
Yep, we'll have just one burger composed in-house there, and just showcase that with the bacon jam on it, sharp cheddar cheese. Arugula would be, I think it'd be a good fit, and people like it.
So. Good pub burger.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of balance to the menu in terms of, being able to come multiple times a week and not get bored. So, that's really important. And obviously, on the beer side, many taps. You guys are going to have how many taps? 26 taps on the beer side. So in terms of getting bored on the beer side, that doesn't sound like that's going to be possible either.
No. Well, the end goal is to have all 26 taps as ours. Mm-hmm. But starting out, we'll have some guest taps to supplement as we grow our beer stock up.
So how many taps off the bat that will be Marteau?
That's a good question.
Yeah, we'll be brewing soon. We'll be brewing here in the next week. So.
Maybe the better question is, let's talk about your system of brewing right now, because you're going from such you're going from small batch home brewing essentially, right?
Yeah.
And you're having to ramp all these recipes, and Eric, I know you walk around with a little black book of your recipes and things, and it's like, how do you do that? How do you scale something so quickly?
One thing we did in anticipation of brewing on a 10-barrel system is about a year ago, we invested in a 1-barrel system.
Hmm.
So most home brewers are at like the 5 or 10-gallon size. That's what Eric and I typically brewed before we got the 1-barrel system. So this is much larger, and it allowed us to take some of those recipes that we're familiar with and scale them up to the 1-barrel size from the 5 or 10-gallon. And it did reveal some things to us about what happens when you do that. You know, physics happen, volumes happen, things change, hop utilization rates change, things like that. So we've been able to kind of observe that. So now when we go from our 1-barrel to the 10-barrel, we're going to have a little better feel on what happens to those recipes and hope that they, will turn out really good right out of the chute instead of having to brew them several times to get them where we need them to be.
Right. But it sounds like there is some investment involved in terms of even just scaling this away from the equipment and away from the goods. You'll probably have to do some test barrels of all these items and kind of tweak things.
Yeah. And the benefit to us, we've taken us a bit of time to open up. We've made some great connections in the brewing world that we can bounce these ideas about scaling up, with other brewers and get some tips on that kind of stuff. And the first few beers we brew, they're selected on purpose because of, we'll learn from these beers and they're a little bit of leeway on a few things. But brewing in general is like a matter of ingredients, time, and temperature. A lot of it is. So it's a lot of it will be just us learning this new system. And I'm pretty confident once we get rolling, it'll be fun.
And so you are right now, you're kind of in this phase of reaching out to and interacting with some other breweries who've kind of done what you're doing right now.
Yeah. So we've done a few collaborations last month. So we did a collaboration with Cross Strain down in Omaha. We'll have two of those beers on tap when we first opened, two fruited sours. We did a collaboration with Madhouse out of Des Moines. That'll be a hazy IPA. All the craze nowadays, everybody loves those hazy IPAs.
Hazy, yeah.
And we did a collaboration with Jackson Street here in Sioux City. We did a Blood Orange Mango Sour, so we'll have that on tap also when we open up. So
And a year ago, we did one with Barntown. So we've become good friends with those guys. And, you know, there's a few other breweries that have just been really helpful as far as picking their brains and, you know, helping us to avoid some of the freshman mistakes.
Mm-hmm. And Iowa has a real, I mean, obviously Sioux City, you guys are really tight in terms of the breweries that are here in Sioux City.
Yeah.
With Matt and Kelly and Dave and you guys really work to promote each other and kind of have each other's back. But then there's this bigger, even larger kind of network of breweries in Iowa, especially, I think, where you guys are all in communication with each other and promoting each other's beers. And what's that like? How does that... how do you, just describe that scenario. Are you guys all kind of like interacting on Facebook and Instagram? And
yeah, so like when we collaborated with Barntown, for example, we made a private Facebook group of mm-hmm. Rod, myself, Jack, and Barntown guys, and just shot ideas off each other. Hey, let's try this hop out. How about this ratio of a grain, you know, and then came to agreement on recipe and just conversations like that, or going there in person and discussing the plans. But it's pretty unique, really, for a lot of businesses to, usually it's big competition, you know, butting
elbows
heads.
Out, kind of, right?
You put your elbows out. And it's great. It's money-wise, it's like cheap marketing, plus like build like camaraderie, and like craft beer fans love it when they, you know, brewers get along. And
right.
I think it's unique to the brewing industry in general, just the way there's kind of a fraternity, you know, among right. brewers. Fellow brewers, and you know, I imagine there's some competition, you know, the blood boils sometimes, but most of the time brewers are very open to sharing, you know, processes and thoughts and opinions with fellow brewers, and just camaraderie kind of takes shape a lot of times.
Kind of the co-laboring mentality that you guys are all just
all in it together, and all, the more yeah. you can lift everybody else up in the craft brewing world, the better the beers get, the better for everybody.
Yeah, if you're all doing it for the right reasons, and obviously we were talking earlier about beer and tourism and how important that's become in some smaller communities. Talk about like Decatur and what tourism, you know, in terms of like going to Pulpit Rock and
Toppling Goliath.
Yeah, and Toppling Goliath. What that's done for like the eastern side of the state, and what you guys see that doing for Sioux City.
Yeah, so Decorah, Iowa, they have Pulpit Rock and Toppling Goliath. They're both great breweries, and they attract a large amount of people to a small town. Like,
yeah,
I've heard many stories where they've ran the ATM machines out of money in the entire town just from all the tourism coming there. People hitting ATM machines for the, you know, for the beer releases. So we hope to do the same thing in Sioux City. And that's the kind of collaboration thing that'll be great for us. Also, people come to town to, say, come to our brewery, stay the night. And as craft beer fans, we check out other breweries while we're in town. Check out Jackson Street, check out Marty's. And if somebody comes to see Jackson Street on a weekend, hopefully they come and see us. You know, like,
yeah.
Make a day out of it. And I think the beer tourism will be, I think, a surprise to some people in Sioux City once they see it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, having formerly worked in tourism, that was always something that we were trying to get up and going, but you need the actual breweries before yeah. you can put together a tour like that. Because otherwise, then you just have a brewery that's on a tour with something else that might be more, you know, family related. But yeah, very excited to see that little passport happen where we've got, you know, a passport of breweries to visit here in Sioux City or in Siouxland. So back to the space. We've talked about the beers. We've talked about some of the process. And I guess the one thing we didn't talk about is distribution. So where do you guys plan to distribute initially and sell your beer?
Yeah, so from the beginning, the number one priority would be our tap room, obviously. And then as we expand and grow, we'll self-distribute to places that will present our beer well. So Diving Elk's always been a big supporter of us over the years, so they'll get our beer for sure. El Bait Shop in Des Moines, Iowa Tap Room, they've been big supporters also. And also a few in the area, too. I mean, I kind of get it as a marketing for us. Say somebody goes to Old Chicago, has their beer on tap. Hey, where's this beer from? Oh, it's in Sioux City downtown. Go check it out, you know.
Right.
So it'll be limited distribution at first. We'll sell Crowlers, which is a big can, 25-ounce can, mm-hmm. to go at our tap room. So that'll be part of distribution through our tap room. specialty bottles. We'll do barrel-aged stouts, barrel-aged barley wines, barrel-aged sours. So we'll do like big release events. Hopefully people travel for that to get the beer and make a day out of it. So that's...
And more along the lines of the beers themselves, you know, we really want to make sure we're going to brew the so-called popular styles that craft, if you're a craft beer fan, you're probably really into the hazy IPAs, you're probably really into the barrel-aged stouts, probably, you know, some of the wild fermented sours, barrel-aged sours. And then other styles after that, you know, might not be quite as sought after or you know, people going crazy after. But we want to brew a beer for everybody, you know. Right. So we're going to make sure that Sioux Cityans, no matter, you know, if you gravitate towards the lighter styles, there'll be something there for you. If you like kind of the browner or amber styles, there'll be a beer there for you. And also some of the styles that come and go during the seasons, Oktoberfest, things like that. So some of the classic German and British styles alongside American styles, and then the fun hazy IPAs and all the other stuff in between too. So,
well, certainly with 26 tap handles and the capacity that you guys will have, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity there to kind of provide a beer for everyone and have something. You said you'll have ciders as well. You'll have some, maybe even some nitro coffee, it sounded like.
Yeah, we'll have a couple guest cider taps at first. Mm-hmm. We'll have a stone brew, cold brew, nitro coffee, personal favorite of mine. But so that'll be kind of fun compliment there. But talking about, you know, the base styles, that kind of stuff, like we anticipate probably three or four beers that'll be take off as most popular, that we'll brew a lot, and then we'll rotate a lot of new stuff in a lot. So keep the people like me who want something fresh and new all the time, you know, happy, but also dependable beers that, hey, every time I go there, they have their cream ale on tap and I love it, you know, yeah, that kind of thing. And
some will rotate and some will just be your, mm-hmm, your standards.
Some staples.
Yeah, yep. Your staples. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
And even like the lagers and stuff we do, like I want to make the best IPAs, best stouts, but even like the light stuff, I want to be the best lagers, the best
pilsners,
all that kind of stuff, yeah, you know,
and that kind
of full spectrum
also, yeah, comes down to, you know, kind of the quality level that we're reaching for the restaurant, you know, and having Nick on board. And, mm-hmm, and I think you can get a sense of how that's going to go and how great it's going to be. And that goes back to our philosophy on the beer side too, you know, the highest quality ingredients. We're not going to cut corners when it comes to how long it takes to create that beer, you know. A lot of breweries, you know, do things where they try to kick it out a few days faster if they can, just to get it going and get it on sale. But we're going to make sure that everything is done in the proper fashion so that you maintain that quality and consistency level that we want.
Well, it sounds like you guys have crossed a lot of T's and dotted a lot of I's. I'm sure that in the coming months, you guys will continue to do that. Hours of operation sound like you're going to be open 7 days a week, which is unusual for restaurants and establishments in downtown Sioux City.
Yeah, 7 days a week. So evening hours throughout the weekday. So open up at 3 o'clock until about 10 o'clock. And then weekends we'll open up for lunch. Mm-hmm. So 11 o'clock on Saturday. We'll do a brunch on Sunday, open up at 10. Chef Nick can talk about the brunch menu there here shortly. But an extended hours on Friday and Saturday till midnight.
Till midnight. Okay. Yeah. So you'll be open 7 days a week. So when I want to grab dinner on a Monday night and a beer, it's game on.
Yeah, I want to be the place that you just know it's open every night. Like,
yeah,
we threw around like, should we close Sunday? And well, no, we're gonna be open because of this, because nothing else open on Sundays. How about, right, Monday? Same thing. Nothing else open on Monday downtown.
And as craft beer fan, what I would discover over the years is, let's say you go on a trip out of town, you know, you might travel Saturday or Sunday, and then Monday rolls around, now you're on vacation, you want to go to a brewery,
mm-hmm,
a lot of them are closed,
right?
So,
right,
Monday and Tuesday a lot of times. So we felt like there's going to be a certain audience for that, and then having the hotel right across the street with hopefully the added convention component that the city wants to bring to that area, you might get business people who come in on a Sunday and have some things going on Monday and then want to do something Monday night. So, and we're right across the street. So,
well, Marteau Brewing Company opening up there on 4th, historic 4th Street, right across from the new hotel, right next to the promenade, block away from Diving Elk and all the other great bars and nightlife that exists there currently. You guys are going to have food. You're going to have amazing beers on tap, world-class beers as well, and just an amazing addition, a great addition to downtown Sioux City and Siouxland. So I appreciate you guys doing what you're doing, and can't wait to see the finished product.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks.
On the program today was Marteau Brewing Company. It's Eric Martin, Rod Wellman, and Nick Goodwin talking about their new location, their first location, I should say, and their 10-barrel brewing system that's going in downtown Sioux City. Make sure to check it out. When can we expect the opening? When is the grand opening?
Shooting for mid to late June. We'll have details on that very soon.
Okay. So. And check your Facebook, follow you on Facebook, Instagram, et cetera.
Facebook, Instagram, martobrewing.com. Facebook and Instagram is probably the best to keep up to date, though.
Okay. Yeah. And sounds like you'll have a beer membership. Well, is it called a membership or like a society? What's that one?
Yeah. Los Hills Society. Okay. So we'll have details on that soon, but you can go to martobrewing.com, sign up for the lottery because we only have about 250 memberships.
Okay.
And members will get members only beer, like also like members gear, like shirts, glasses, and a members only beer and food pairing we'll do once a year. So
very cool. Well, check out Marteau Brewing. If it's the first time you've heard about them, I'm sure it probably isn't the first time you've heard of this, but if it is, check out Marteau Brewing Company online, on social media, etc. Eric, Nick, and Rod, thanks so much again for coming on the program.
Thanks for having us,
Adrian.
All right. Well, for Food for Thought here on Siouxland Public Media, my name is Adrian Colbo. Tune in every Friday just a little bit after the news for another installment. And until then, we'll see you.